Hello and welcome to this podcast from the Business Marketing Club, or BMC. I'm Dave Stevens. I'm a business marketer and I'm chair and co-founder of the BMC. The Business Marketing Club is a not-for-profit community network of business marketing professionals and people interested in business marketing. It's run by business marketers for business marketers, and we provide face-to-face and virtual event meetups, training, podcasts, blogs, newsletters, mentoring, social media groups, community groups, and gatherings for business marketers. Today, we have almost 5,000 participants across the world. But if this is the first time you've joined us, you're very welcome. Check us out at businessmarketingclub.org.uk. If you've been with us before, well, welcome back. It's good to have you along again. I'm joined today by business marketing consultant Jade Tambini to talk about the B2B marketing gap. Jade, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. This is my favourite B2B marketing podcast.
I already want you to come back.
Oh, I would love to. I will make a weekly appearance if you really wanted me.
So we're going to talk about the B2B marketing gap. But before we do, tell us a bit about you. First of all, tell us a bit about your marketing consulting work.
Yeah, perfect. So my company, my consulting business is called Tambini Marketing. And I set it up in 2016. Right. And it's split into two areas, one of which is newer, one of which is more established. So the first area is consulting, advising, and guiding B2B companies on their strategy, what they need to put in place for effective marketing. The companies I typically work with don't have senior in-house marketing, which is where I really found a niche that I fell in love with, because these guys don't tend to realize just how much of an impact great marketing can have for them. So they tend to be on this sort of hamster wheel of business development, taking it all on for themselves. So I work with the likes of architects, smaller IT companies, any business where they just don't realize that there is a better way. And perhaps they're stuck really far in the past. They don't even have a CRM or data setup, and they're really just grinding that business development process. And so, yeah, I found that niche and I started working with these guys to get to really check that they've got that vision in place, that that business strategy is clear, the growth goals were clear, just sort of checking in on those things. And then from there, helping them to really connect the marketing activities with what the business actually needs to achieve. And that brings me nicely to a sort of second hat I wear, which is as an associate partner for a bigger agency called the Really Helpful Marketing Company based in Gloucester. Now, this is an informal, not in-house role, but the more I worked with these guys, the more we get to a point of like, okay, but who's going to actually do this? I don't have a marketing team. Can you do it? And I'm like, absolutely not. Because, you know, how many days a month would you need to serve all these different clients in terms of tactical? And I'm not a specialist in every area of marketing. So these guys I've worked with for maybe 10 or 15 years, incredible agency. And so what I am able to do is I have a bit of an outlet for passing through these clients to get them set up with a bit of an outsourced marketing department set up.
So you characterize the businesses as quite small. Is there anything else we can do to characterize them? Is there a sector? It sounds, you've mentioned IT and I think you said architecture. So there's kind of I'm sensing breadth, but is there any kind of sector specialism here?
Yeah, interesting. I mentioned the IT company. That most of my business comes through inbound because I'm pretty active on LinkedIn and in my own marketing. So that was an unusual one for me. I do tend to find that I have a lot of success within the property and construction field. Mm-hmm. Their buying journey is really complex and really, really long. And they really seem to, when you sell it to them, they do tend to buy into this idea that brand is extremely important. Yeah. And particularly architects, they really respect that creative process. So I love working with architects. I'd say that any sector that I come from a manufacturing marketing background. So any of those sort of heavyweight complex industries, I'm really excited about.
So you mentioned your manufacturing background. So let's talk a bit more about
how you got to this point. So can you perhaps just take us through some of your career highlights to the point where you became a consultant?
Yeah, I've got a lifelong love story with marketing. It's my first memory of it all is being like six, and my dad has always been a marketer, but a salesperson, from a salesperson background. So when I was really little, he was worked in the news in the Yorkshire Post as their top sales guy.
Right.
And so I sort of saw all the way from like the early 90s that like his journey through his career into ending up running a couple of FMCG magazines,
right,
his own small publishing business, and doing work experience in his office and just sitting there all summer and overhearing things. And my dad would always point out like what's interesting about an advert, or Jade, why do you think that they did that? That's weird. And he'd like commentate on the world in the context of advertising. So I was just in love with it. But what I find hilarious with that is I told school, like, I'm creative, I love this, I love that. And when I got my age 15 work experience, they were like, you need to be in fashion or textiles. We'll get you set up with a local retail store and you can go and do work experience. Wow. So I get in the car, go to my dad's office, which is exactly where I need to be for work experience. And then I walk to this retail store where I'm just absolutely bored out of my mind. So the love story started there.
Career services have got a lot to answer for, right?
I know. And so by the same breath, I ended up in art college, not fancy art college, just the local college, doing an art course, and left my folder on a bus, didn't seem to care at all, and realized, you know what, this is not for me. And I was really lucky that the first job I applied for happened to be in sales. This is in 2006, in a marketing data sales boiler room style, extremely driven by targets environment. So I did 3 years in sales. And I remember looking at the marketers in the boardroom and it finally clicked. I was like, I need to be in that room. So I had no degree. I had nothing apart from this absolute passion for, I've got to get in that room. What can I do? And so just to really briefly run through the rest of the story, I asked the MD, you know, what could I do to get into marketing? And he said, well, you need to be involved with the Chartered Institute of Marketing. So I took a diploma, I volunteered at all their events and got my first marketing job. And that was where the manufacturing business came in. So I was in DS Smith PLC for 7 years and worked my way from assistant through to marketing manager after being senior assistant, then European marketing manager covering a few international markets. And when I left 7 years later, I left as the head of marketing covering 10 geographies for one of their divisions. Mm. So it was an incredible journey there. And the reason that I left was that the traveling was becoming extremely, taking a big toll on my mental health.
Right.
Yeah. And I just needed to be local for a while, which I find fascinating given that today that wouldn't have been an issue.
No.
Traveling.
I think a lot of people would like to be able to travel more nowadays, yeah, in their roles than they do.
And I adored that role. It was an incredible business. I miss it every day. The team, we had a team of 11 marketers, really talented, incredible global branding campaigns, absolutely amazing. So that's where I really cemented my strategic abilities. And then, yeah, worked for a more regional firm as marketing director. It wasn't a right fit. It wasn't the right sector for me in terms of cultural. It just didn't align. And I found myself in 2016, what am I going to do now? You know, I don't want to travel all around the world with the corporates. I don't want to be in a small regional who's not necessarily aligned with me. At this point, I was the chair of the Chartered Institute of Marketing for Wales. So I progressed there and I just found that people were asking me constantly, can you help me with my marketing? What should I be doing? And so I just went, you know what? I can help you with that. I can give you a few days a month of my time. And the business was born.
Wow. That's a very focused story. There are very few people I've spoken to who knew at the age of six where they really wanted to be. Would you say that your focus has been refined over that period of time? So maybe, you know, okay, you've always wanted to be in marketing, but perhaps you drilled down to say you wanted to be, I don't know, in business marketing, or you wanted to run your own consulting firm.
When I was six, I had no, even up to 21, I just had no idea what any of it was. I just felt this love. I just felt this passion and excitement. And I love, someone said to me once, you know you're in the right place within an organization when the idea of not being at that table and in that department, the thought of looking at someone else doing it and you not wanting to run over there and jump in, you know you're in the right place. So I think that what happened for me was sales was the absolute catalyst for my career, because it's in terms of being focused as a marketer, I've never lost sight of the fact that we exist in order to enable the company to grow through sales. And of course, there's loads of peripherals to that. But ultimately, I always knew that sales, I think from being a high performing salesperson as well, selling marketing data, talking to marketing directors every day for 3 years, 100 calls a day, 4 demos a day to 1 sale a day. I was like, guys, I just wanted to learn from them. Tell me about what you do. That's incredible. That's fascinating. How do you get customers? How does that work? And it was almost like a incredibly intensive 3-year marketing course.
What's interesting though, given that focus, is your move to firstly strategy rather than tactics, and secondly to business marketing, which has a much longer sales cycle than B2C. So actually, in what's interesting kind of about where you've ended up is you've kind of almost pushed further in time the point at which actually sales are realized from what you're specifically doing.
Yeah, and I think I probably would say that I ended up in B2B because of where I live. You know, I'm in South Wales and we don't have many consumer brands anyway. So I was applying for marketing jobs. And at the time, I had no idea of B2B, B2C. But I never really was interested in tactical marketing, even though I did it. Because you have to, don't you? To learn strategy, you have to start with tactics. Because I was always like, but what is this doing? What about what the sales guys need? And I remember one really poignant moment, poignant's a bit dramatic, but when I became the marketing manager after 2 or 3 years in DS Smith PLC, I found that the sales leads inbox hadn't been looked into and organized for about 4 days. And that's a daily task as a marketing person. You have to get the leads into the system and prioritize them. And when I spoke to the team, it was kind of like, we had some graduates, all amazing people, but they were kind of like, oh, well, you know, I know that you asked me for this and that. And I was like, I couldn't, obviously we worked through that together. It was a learning, but I had never been through that process of not realizing how important a lead was and how precious that is. And another example in corporate where I almost became obsessed with sales and had to learn was I did some SEO myself. Now, this is back in 2009, so it was a lot easier to do SEO for yourself. So I used to have all these different suppliers and I'd learn from them. And then I would do loads of it myself alongside them. And I doubled or tripled our inquiries or something within 6 months from rewriting the site and all that. And then the sales team were like, what are you doing? We can't cope with all of these. And these are not the right fit anyway. These are not our target clients. These are really small businesses. I was like, but I've just got you 100 sales leads. What's wrong with you? What else would you want? They're like, no, we need to help service existing customers better. That's really the strategy. And I was just like, and that was a new learning for me, that marketing is not just sales.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's come on to, and I suspect this will be where we kind of square back round a little bit to the question of what I asked you about what your marketing consulting work was. So we're here today to talk about the B2B marketing gap. So first of all, what is the B2B marketing gap, Jade?
It's one of those things that just came to me in the middle of the night or in the shower or something. I was like, that's what it is. I've been trying to articulate for ages. the difference that I make in companies. And the B2B marketing gap is the void between a board of directors and any marketing that's been undertaken, whether that be they have a junior marketing person or they have some external partners that carry out marketing for them, like PR companies or content creators or whatever you're going to have. And every single, and I've spoken to hundreds since I've been set up in 2016, every single small B2B company I speak to who isn't seeing results from marketing and sees it as fluffy, it all comes back to the marketing gap. They're going, well, these people, they're not strategic. It's all fluffy. We've got this junior marketer and she's not strategic at all. We've asked her for a marketing plan 6 times and it's useless what she's coming up with. And then the junior marketer saying to me, because I also provide mentoring and live lessons for marketers, kind of work on each side, work with the directors to educate there and with the marketers. And they're like, oh my gosh, every time I ask for support from the directors, they tell me it's my job. And I don't know what budget I should have. And I don't know how to be more strategic. So I just kind of post things on social media, pictures of the team and the Christmas tree. And I don't really know what else I should be doing. And I realized that was the big problem. That's why B2B marketing isn't working. So the whole mission for my business is how can I, you know, plug and fill that void? And for me, the answer was consult as many business directors as I can on, do you know what, you need to have a strategy and help the marketers to go, you need to up your game. You need to talk the business language. You need to make a case for marketing. You need to learn and learn and learn and not become complacent and not become the company that you're in. Because I see that a lot. Marketers sort of resign them. Oh yeah, no, yeah, it is fluffy what I do. Yeah, it's not really working. And I'm like, you have to have that grit, because these directors, these CEOs, they're not always right. They just haven't been shown yet how marketing can work. So my whole business is knock on as many doors as I can, like metaphorically, and see which ones are open to it. Because this shocked me. So many are like, no, we don't need that, you know. But when I find one that's doors open and edge and they're interested, it's remarkable what we can do. Mm. And so it's been a real joy.
And just so that I can understand then, so is the gap the absence of a senior marketer to bridge the understanding between the board and the junior person? So is it a personnel gap that you're talking about here, or is it something else?
100% it's a skills gap. It's interesting, my niche, because in many ways it makes a case for a client to pay for consulting work with me, not to be like ruthless, but at the end of the day, if I'm going to talk to a company, it's great if they want to work with me too. The size niche that I go for is that they wouldn't really be able to justify usually a £80,000 on the board CMO, right. But they do still need that gap filled. So I say to them, look, whether you hire in or whether you use someone like me as essentially a part-time marketing director to advise and guide, whatever the case may be, that gap needs to be filled. I mean, the other challenge we have is that there is a shortage of senior strategic marketers, and there are many who find themselves in head of marketing roles who are pretty much commercial or salespeople, and they've just sort of had the marketing hat as well. So that's another challenge, finding the right people.
Okay, so if that's what the gap is, tell us, why does the gap exist?
So I have found that it's the marketing unicorn, isn't it? It's a business owner. First of all, what I found with the companies I work with is that they've been able to grow to a point without marketing. And usually people come through my door because they tend to get in touch on LinkedIn. Jada saw that video. That's exactly us. Can we talk? It's usually after 8 to 12 years. It's oddly, the last 10 companies I spoke to, it's been 12 years.
Okay.
And they're like, I can't do this anymore, Jade. Could you help us?
Yeah.
Because obviously the traditional dinners, networking, coffees, matey, everyone knows each other, that gets you so far. Mm. And then a great example with a client was, he said to me, and they are a project management quantity surveying firm, and they saw the board of a competitor on a big hotel that was being built. And they're like, "Hey Jade, I looked at this site and I thought, why is that not my logo? I know those guys. Why didn't they ring me?" And I said, "Well, you're not keeping in touch with them. You've now got 800 contacts. So when you started, you had 50 and you could take them all out for lunch and you could ring them every now and then. And now you can't. And you need marketing to jump in now to nurture these relationships."
So, okay. So I get that, and the time period's really quite interesting. But what are the consequences of the B2B marketing gap? Is it as simple as saying, well, actually, you know, these businesses are failing and they recognize that they're failing? Or is it actually that there are consequences, but the businesses themselves aren't really aware of it?
Yeah, it's kind of heartbreaking sometimes when I have that first discovery call with a potential client and they tell me just how many things they've tried. You know, they've been going 10 years and maybe they had a PR company on a retainer for 3 years, and then they tried out an SEO company, and then they tried out a big rebrand, and then they tried out something else and something else and something else. All great things to have done. But their perception was it got us absolutely nothing. It got nothing. And I'm like, wow, you just wasted £250,000 or something over 10 years or whatever it would be. And helping them to become aware of, you know, that amount of wasted money. Now, what's really interesting with these B2B companies is it's not like I'm saying, look, if you don't invest in marketing, you're going to fail and your company's going under. Because that's what's so hard about it is, like, you can carry on doing what you're doing, but you're going to be working 80-hour weeks and you're going to be burning out. And also, it's really a shame, isn't it? The missed opportunity. You know, when we look at how much time B2B buyers now spend on time online, independently researching, I think there was a stat from Hootsuite that said something like, B2B buyers today spend 25 to 26% of their buying time independently researching online. So a quarter of the whole amount of time is online researching, finding out what they need, finding the answers, comparing that with 5 to 6% with any given salesperson. So that was like, that's five times longer online. And you guys don't know how many opportunities you're missing as a result of that, because if they're not picking up the phone to you, you don't even know. So I think it's more missed opportunity and past wasted resources.
Okay. And so what can they do about it? Now, obviously, the easy answer is they pick up the phone to you, and your contact details will be coming up at the end of the podcast. So maybe people just need to hold on for 10 minutes. But is there a kind of set of practical things that you would be recommending that businesses listening to this and thinking, oh yeah, I can recognize something of that for myself? You know, what are the, I don't know, the three things, the seven things, or the key things that people need to take away and practically do?
Yeah, absolutely. And the first thing I would say is being really clear about the vision and mission for the company, which can be seen as fluffy terms, but the vision is really, where do we see ourselves in the future? What literal vision do we have for what we would like to be in, say, 5 years?
Yeah.
What does the business look like? And actually having that as something measurable and achievable that we can go for and set as the overall, here is what we're going for as a company. And I find with smaller businesses, it does help for that to be financial based. You know, for one of my clients who has become a professionalized business in line with the Ontario six stages of growth of 2 million by 2025. And like, that was where they envisaged themselves, so they'd be able to sell. And then having that mission, that constant purpose, this is why we exist and what we're always about, helps align and mobilize the whole business with, this is what we're about. And anytime we're working with a customer and a client, are we practicing that mission? Are we taking on the right fit of work? Are we helping them to believe in us? And are we delivering on that promise? And so starting with really checking that vision and mission is robust. There's an incredible report that I can link if needed that like shows examples of vision statements and mission statements, because it is really, there's a lot of poor advice out there. So starting with that, and then a good marketer should be able to then look at, well, what is the business strategy behind that? What are the big things in our way of achieving that vision? Because that for me is what I see as a business strategy. Okay. What are the big things in our way? What's stopping us getting there? Like, why aren't we there today? What will we need to do to get to that? And so then using a set of marketing objectives to, okay, well, if let's talk about growth because it's the easiest one. If we need an extra 750,000 of growth within the next financial year, how is that splitting out into like number of leads and what are our conversion rates? And so I do, you know, that piece of work is really important because at least you've got objectives, like here is what we need to go for, and it keeps it simple. And the second thing I would say is the brand positioning. This is, I'm so passionate about brand positioning and getting that right for small businesses, small, medium businesses. The idea of someone landing on your site is a great example, and getting clear about here is why we would be better placed to solve your problem than the other options available. And so a lot of my work is around that brand positioning. So thinking about maybe looking at this site and going, let's look at our top four competitors who always come up against us. Are we saying anything that shows them up as weaker than us and anything that shows that we would be the best option? And if the answer is no, definitely look into brand positioning. And then the last one that always comes up is CRM and data strategy. So a lot of the times people call me and they're like, Jade, we just need to get some leads. We need 50 leads within 6 months. I'm like, whoa. You've been going 12 years, obviously. you must have quite a lot of data. You must have quite a lot of people who've been in contact with you over the last 12 years. Are you in contact with any of those guys? Oh, no, we just want more leads. I'm like, well, it's really expensive to get more leads compared to perhaps re-engaging old data or, you know, tapping into winning more projects with the same people. So really getting a good focus around CRM, setting up dashboards so we can monitor health of the marketing, getting the data in order, and really getting some comms strategy set up for that. Those would be the three long-winded big things I'd suggest.
Now, if it were this easy, right, everybody would do
that. It's not. That's me awake.
Well, I was going to say, what that suggests is there's a whole series of bear traps that we need to avoid. So what are the most kind of common traps that people fall into?
Yeah, the first one is hiring single discipline partners without a strategy and thinking that a single tactical exercise is going to help. Because ultimately the reason my clients trust me is that I'm not married to any one marketing discipline or tactic.
Right.
So if you are a small business owner or a small to medium business owner and you ring a PR company and say, what do I need to do? Naturally, and rightly so, they will tell you, you need PR. And so then they go, great, I'll do PR. If you ring a web developer, they'll say, you need a new site, because everyone needs a new site, don't they? You know, everyone could do with a better site. And the bear trap I see most of all is like, oh, Jade, yeah, we've just instructed a designer to do a whole new suite of literature. And then we've also talked to this guy and that. And I'm like, whoa, let's get the strategy first. The other one I haven't touched on much, and I don't know if it's a bear trap, but I care a lot about people in general, and like marketers I care about so much. And I don't think it's talked about enough, but B2B marketers have a really tough time in the corporate world when they don't have seniors like your amazing podcast guests. And by the way, listen to the last few podcasts. I was like, I would have worked for those guys. They sound amazing. not in this niche that I serve, B2B marketers just don't have that support. They are just pulled every which way. Sales, I'm not using the word bully because they're not bullying, but they just drag, and it's like no matter what they do, it's not good enough and it's not enough. And that's because of this marketing gap. And so I think that the other problem we see in terms of bear traps is hiring and rehiring and rehiring and rehiring. A lot of the calls I get are like, Jade, we've had 4 marketing assistants over the last 3 years and none of them performed. And I'm like, okay, can we talk about that? what, you know, what metrics are you measuring that against? What was their role? Oh, well, they did the SEO, the PPC, the website, they're in charge of emails, they're in charge of PR, they did all the copywriting, they updated the website, they did the social posts. And I'm like, you just described the marketing unicorn, and the fault lies at your door, I'm afraid. It's not that you didn't have awareness of that. And so I don't really care if my business makes a whole lot of money. I just want to try and raise that awareness to as many companies as I can that neither of you are wrong, marketers or directors. Like, we need to fill this gap, I suppose.
And a persona that we've not really focused on in this discussion so far are the market, the junior marketers who find themselves in this position. So they don't have a CMO type person. They have a very senior board person who maybe is ill-guided or ill-informed about marketing. What should they do?
This is where I want my business to move into in a big way. Like, this is maybe 10% of my business right now, running the live lessons for B2B marketers where they need it, running mentoring sessions too.
Right.
I relate to them so much because I was them. And I heard a really cool piece of entrepreneurial advice, which was the best person that you can build your business around is a previous version of yourself. What they can do is, first of all, not be defensive, because it only heightens the whole coloring in department, fluffy department. As soon as you get defensive rather than confident, you just add to that narrative, and I see it all the time, and I used to do it. And so I talk to them a lot about growing their knowledge and having ammunition in order to combat those difficult conversations. So for example, I had a senior manager when I was in corporate tell me that the website's stupid and pointless, and he doesn't see how business could ever come out of a website. He was being honest. He didn't know. He'd never had the experience of that. So I just said, oh, that's so interesting you think that. Interestingly, 60% of our sales came from the website just last month. Would you like me to show you our recent report? You know, I'm really keen to learn more about what you see as important in the context of our sales and our growth. And do you know, you'd be surprised. You wouldn't be surprised, because you know, that people don't tend to carry on at you when you're like that, because it's just not nice, is it? So he was like, oh, right, cool. And so I really encourage that. You know, if you know you're about to go into a meeting where you're going to get a bit of stick, just have some stats written down. Like, look up an article on Forbes or something and like write down these important things. And I also tell them not to become the company they're in. You know, just because everyone else is cynical about marketing, don't end up believing that to be true. Like, learn from YouTube, like learn from Twitter. I learn so much on Twitter. Podcasts, your podcast. I listened to 3 episodes yesterday in traffic, and I was like, my brain has evolved a lot in 3 35-minute interviews. Mm. And so I think taking responsibility for their own learning. And then lastly, I think being able to talk the business language and creating reports that mean something to directors, not just impressions and vanity metrics. But again, it points back to the marketing gap. They're like, yeah, but what? I don't know. And it breaks my heart, because they should have a marketing director going, hey, look, this is how we do reports. Could you try that yourself and come back to me? And I feel really strongly about those guys. That it links a lot, that the guys I talk to, when they're not with the business and they feel safe in the marketing clinic, and they really like upset by it. They're like, I thought I was the only one. It is horrible in there. You know, no one respects me. No one values me. You know, what can I do? What, you know, when they attack me, what should I say, Jade? What can I do? And I just love being the person I wish I could have consulted. I mean, I was lucky to have a great marketing director when I was in corporate, but yeah, it's something I feel very strongly about.
And that really comes across. You're very passionate about the topic, which very much does you credit. If people have enjoyed listening to what you've had to say, how can they find out more?
Yeah, great. So there's a few ways we can connect depending on who's listening. I'm on LinkedIn. You just search my name, Jade Tambini. I'm on Twitter, Jade Tambini. I'm also on YouTube. If anyone's interested, I talk about this stuff on YouTube. It's literally just Tambini Marketing. I am on TikTok because my mentoring and my marketing clinic guys, they're all Gen Z, and that's where it's at. So I spend a lot of time on TikTok now, building that community and talking to really cool people and learning so much from the new generation. So I'm pretty in love with TikTok. So if anyone wants me on TikTok, I'm B2B Jade. And yeah, I have got the B2B marketing clinics. If you were going to visit my website, it's tambinimarketing.co.uk/events. And yeah, I've got a code. If anyone wanted to hop on any time, I've got a code. You just put it in at checkout, BMC, and they can hop on and check it out if they want for free. It will ask them to pay, but they just type in BMC and they'll get free access just to see what it's about, really, if interested.
Jade, it's so good talking to you today. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Dave, and speak to you again soon. Thank you.
All the best.
And that's all for this episode of the Business Marketing Club podcast. Thanks to my guest, Jade Tambini. And thanks to our technical man from Through the Eye, Andrew Gratian. Thanks to you for listening. Do rate or review us if you can. And email me at davestevensnow@gmail.com if you'd like to be a speaker or offer feedback. There's more where this came from. Just go to businessmarketingclub.org.uk. I hope to see you again. Thanks for listening.